Oh.
So here we are, and maybe we'll just get lucky and have the two of us. You never know, you know.
Oh, well, you know,
A lot of people
that's,
say they're coming on, but it's funny how life works.
well, probably their intention is to do that, but then life gets
Sure.
in the way.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, taking charge of our lives is absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
And I love listening to, in the middle of this, I was listening to people like Tony Robbins and Canfield, and I've just been on this immense purge.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it's something that we really need to do. I think we'll chat a few minutes here in case a few people come on. I noticed people kind of come on about 5 or 6 minutes into it during this entry.
Yep.
But
Yep.
and it's about really, really practicing. And that was one of the things that when I was doing the 8-day meditation there, it said, okay. And there's one meditation we do, it takes 38.5 minutes.
Wow.
Right? We did
Wow.
that 6 times in one day.
Was that the one, the elimination one?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
greater illumination. We did that 6 times.
Yeah, you said that. I'm going, wow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's arduous, you know. And then they
Well,
have.
it is because I struggle doing it once because
Yes.
holding your hands above your head actually hurt
That was
my
a
ribs.
tough one. That's the tough one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
And
we actually did that for an hour.
wow. Wow.
I didn't do it for an hour. I
suck.
was. Yeah, I did. I was like my aunt, and I'm looking at all these skinny little people, you know, and they're tall, they're awful.
Oh.
And our hands are, well, a lot of people, our hands are going up and down. You know, we can only do it so long. But I was watching as a lot of the people, now they were talking about some people would do that particular mudra, and the record is like 13 hours holding their hands above their head. Some people
Well,
actually.
I found it actually broke my my concentration because all
Yes.
my effort went into just holding my hands up. So when I did it the second time, I held my hands up for as long as was comfortable, which wasn't long, and then I put them down, and then I just imagined I was holding them up.
Well, I think that's brilliant. That's what I was telling some other people too. They said, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I said, well, here's the thing. He said several times, your imagination trumps everything.
Yes.
And I say that, a lot of people say that, you know, and it does. So, yes, imagine it because, yeah, I found the same exact thing as you. If I'm in pain, there's no way I'm getting into a deep meditation. Okay, it's like,
I just,
this.
all I was thinking is, oh, this is, I can't do this. That's all I was thinking. You know, I'm going, well, you know, fat lot of good this is. So the first meditation was really just getting to know the meditation because it was very different to anything that I've ever done before.
Yeah,
And, you know, it was
me too.
quite interesting.
Yeah, and I watched him use those. I watched the masters use those mudras, and cast, if you will, if I could say it this way, cast them out into the crowd. They had a portion of the event called empowerment, and there were three masters there. One was the second master under who developed all this, a fellow called Jim Bodhi. Or Jim Bodhi, I guess Jim Bodhi. And then the master that is right directly under him was one that was with us. And then two people were right under him. And they were there too. So we had like the top three people. And they were very powerful. I mean, just
Yeah.
their presence was very, very profound. It was really delightful to be around them. And I was watching them closely, and I could see their auras, and oh my gosh, I was like, it was like a light show. And then I was watching them do these mudras, which is, you know, this is a form, like you see, there's all different kinds of meditations. Like you could have a cursive meditation, there's a walking meditation, you know, there's guided visualizations, there's sitting quietly with no thought, you just go away. Then there's meditating on something specific. You know, there's just all different ways you can go about this. And what I saw them do, we did the greater illumination. The day we did it 6 times was the day they then did the empowerment. which he was really wanting us to get really, you know, deep into our meditative state so that we'd be able to be at a high enough vibration to receive the energy. And so I'm watching him, like, on the stage do this special mudra, and I could see he's singling in. I was supposed to have my eyes closed, but I can't. I just got to see. And I figured I'm going to be there 8 days. There's plenty of times I close my eyes. And so I'm watching him, like, grab, like, what appears to be, like, a snake and shake it, you know. And I look out into the crowd, and this woman shaking, her whole body shaking with what he's doing. And as a result, she had Parkinson's, and talk about shaking. You know, she could barely walk, and she shared later how difficult her life was, and she stopped shaking completely. Like the Parkinson's was gone.
Wow.
He did something with her spine there, and I thought that was just magnificent. You know, so in my usual style, I thought I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. And
sure you could.
Veronica, yes, and the thing is, we all can. It's just a matter of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of knowledge. You say, ah.
Well,
and believing these things. So in mythology, they have all these symbols and all these stories. And you say, oh, well, if I believe in it, it will work. If you don't, it won't. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So we have to get to that focus and that simplicity.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So.
Yeah.
What, and I was very pleased to see what he was teaching is what I was teaching. We both
That's
teach.
Nice, isn't it?
It's very, very, very similar, except I didn't have you put your hand over your head and do all that. You know?
Yeah.
But and I can see the merit of it. I'm practicing it.
Yeah.
I see how it really helps. And what it does is it helps to keep the mind busy and the body busy. So you've got mentally and physically keeping busy so that you could then, and then while you're doing all of that, you can't get too emotionally attached to anything. And then spiritually, you can go deeper.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So I rather liked it. The whole thing about impersonal. And that part, and that's, I'm led to find out later that that's kind of how they are. That's how it is.
Yeah.
It's like, especially in matters of like you only have sex to have children.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that rules me out. That's I don't want that many kids, you know. Well, that's in a lot of religions. They do say that.
I was going to say, that's quite common in a lot of religions.
Yeah. But, you know, the funny thing is, I never heard, you know, Jesus say that. And Buddha didn't say that. It was the people that came after that said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all had to do with when the male, the patriarchal society, ousted the matriarchal society by burning everybody at the stake. With any knowledge, and if you were a female, and so they you know, they suppressed all of that information and made up all these rules and laws of that had to do more with possession than it had to do with matrimony or love or compassion or nurturing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how life has evolved.
Mm.
All right, well, I'm going to call it you and I for right now. So I'm going to we'll just do a quick centering here. And have you been able to practice much? Have you? I know you practice quite a bit. Have you still been at it?
Every day.
Excellent.
Every
Absolutely.
Day. Excellent. I do your centering at least twice a day.
Oh, that's just so brilliant.
And then I choose another of the meditations. It'll either be the healing heart meditation, or it would be the I Am, the last one that you did, and I actually transcribed that.
Oh wow!
I've got that written down.
Yeah, and then so put your own name in. Yeah.
I put my own name in, and I also personalized it just a little bit.
Oh, good.
I added in a couple of things about my health.
Excellent.
And so I've got it written down, and I intend to record it to myself so that I've got that to listen to. I just haven't got to that yet.
See, now you've done something that's really important. You personalize it, make it your own.
Yeah.
There's nothing more powerful than your own voice speaking to you.
I feel that. It's the same with the I Am prayer that you gave us. I have that recorded, and I speak that to myself in the recording. So I do that. I haven't done it lately because it's on my old phone, and my old phone died, and I'm now trying to adjust everything to a new phone, and that's been a challenge. So, well, it's a challenge for me. But anyway, so I'm just rebuilding my tools. And I wanted to ask you, can you remember where you sent me, I don't know whether it was an email or if it was on your website, but you sent me a link to your 10-minute centering recording, and I can't find that. I want to download that.
Okay. I think it's there's a 7-minute, maybe it's 10, might be that one there. I'll check.
No, it's about 7. It is about 7 minutes. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just a really nice, short little one, and
yeah.
I love that one, and I find that that's great for when I'm on the run.
Yeah, that's so funny. People are so funny. It's like, I'm going to meditate on the run. It's like an oxymoron. It's like...
No,
I'm kidding.
You know what I'm saying. It's like
I
you driving, you know, you were listening to it. It's so that when I'm sitting down at my desk, for example, and I want to have a 10-minute break, then I'll, which is what I do, I used to listen to that 10-minute one or the 8-minute one.
Yeah.
I used to take time out. I used to leave my desk, and then I would just sit down, listen to that, center myself, and then I'd get back to work. And I'd do that at least, you know, 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
The half an hour one I do morning and night. It's a bit long for, I'd rather do little bits during the day than, you know, sometimes it's a bit hard to find half an hour in a day. Or
well,
if I'm sitting on the bus, then I can listen to it or, you know.
Yes. That's the thing. See, after a while, then you'll close your eyes, see a rainbow, the whole rainbow, and instantly be there. That's the whole idea. You just keep practicing. And then that way, it's like, you can do it at will. And then what I'm discovering, and this is a next stage of things here, is like, you know how we go into the centering, then we come out. And you notice in that last one, in the heart center, we don't come out. We stay there.
Yes.
Okay. And that's the ultimate goal. So we've completely reversed the polarity of our brain and our heart.
And do you know the advanced heart centering, that meditation?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel altogether right yet for me.
Doesn't feel about right?
I just don't feel the same as I do with your first one.
Yeah. Well, the first one is absolutely crystal clear and pure. Okay.
Yeah.
And that the advanced heart centering came very quickly to me. I scribbled it all out, you know, and then rewrote it. And then I get that there's still more work to do on that. And it's also, like I remember in the front, I say, well, it's like a hybrid of a lot of different teachings. And it just sort of hit me that way. And I thought, well, that's what it came. And so I don't question it. I just put it in there the way it, you know, comes.
Yeah, I don't think it's the meditation. I think it's just what I'm ready for.
It's the what?
I don't think it's the meditation that's the issue. I think it's just what I'm ready for.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. As a matter of fact, after this 13 days of meditating here, I thought I may do some more. I'm going to record some more things because I some things really resonated with me, and I want to add them or delete them. And I'm not going to delete the ones we have, but I'm going to do some new ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be lovely.
And I really
And
think.
and I've also this last week I listened to that first module again a couple of times.
That's a good one.
It was actually because that was it was great because
It's.
it it just added more meaning to the centering again. And it was fantastic.
See, it's
Something that
packed
I
with
really
this. Go
something that
ahead.
I've gained from this from this whole journey is that I had an expectation when I signed up for this that by the end of it I would be completely healed, normal. You know, I would be a whole brand new person. I have learnt during this program that for me, it's going to be a journey for me towards wellness. And like you said, that's why I asked you the question, how long did it take you to come out of where the space you were in? For some reason, in my nature, I'm a methodical sort of person, and I seem to have to work it that way. And instead of putting a whole lot of pressure on myself, which is what I was doing, to get it, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not a whole brand new person, and I place judgment on myself because obviously I'm not doing something right. So I've given that up, and I'm just going, well, no, this is my journey, and knowing that I will get there. And like you've said, for me, it's just practice and practice and repetition and practice and repetition and practice and it's only been in the last few weeks, but I've come to that acceptance. I've just gone, well, this is what it is, and this is what I need to do for me to get where I need to be. And it'll come in its own time, not me pushing it.
Yeah, this is a testimony to your strength. Now, listen to that carefully. It's like this is truly a testimony to your strength. What I learned when I was in India was that the people that were the most in opposition to spirituality, growth, or in that particular instance, in opposition to Sri Satya Sai Baba, once they flipped, they became the most powerful. They were literally running the ones running the ashram, because it's the same power. You have a huge locomotive you put on a track, and whether you face it into the river or you face it up the mountain, it's got the same power. It goes whichever direction you press it. So what's happened is with the power that you've had to be able to create what you've created, it's the same power now that's going to bring you out. But see, all of the information that came to you to create the being out of balance is came in at random and over a long, long, long period of time. Now what we're doing is we're taking a short period of time and saturating that short period of time with information and knowledge that will bring you back to health. See, and so I did notice, so I said, oh, here's all these powerful masters, okay? And there were a lot of other powerful people in the room. And I saw, well, probably, I don't know what percentage, but there was a number of people that had some instantaneous changes, and they spoke to them. And then there were other people that I noticed were still, walking on crutches and still, still having difficulty and with what they came in with. And but all of them, as I found out a little bit later, well, I can't say all, but a very vast majority of them are feeling better and better each time. And there's a perceptible difference. So, for example, and that's why I say to people, I say, oh, write it down, send it to me. What happened? What? Here's where I was last week. Here's where I am this week. A. It's self-serving for me. I want testimonies. I want to see that you're growing. I want to adjust things. I want to be able to see how it works, what we actually did, how could I make it better. And when I start seeing really large numbers happening, you know, then I can say, ah, this is it. This is the one. And also, I also am able to see, too, when there's certain, it's amazing this how it happens, too, when there's absolute simple truths, the ones that are the most powerful, it's the ones that are the most difficult to get across in such a way that they're understood. Like Abraham says, we've got to tell you in 10,000 different ways to love yourself and be kind to others.
Yeah.
You just have to say it 10,000 different ways, because that's how many ways are in our head that are in opposition to it. We're just simply not aligned to it.
Yeah.
Now, this is where I'm headed in the next program, is alignment and congruity. Mm. And that's, this is where, so you could say, oh, I'm going to do all these Hail Marys, you know, and count the rosary 10,000 times and genuflection on all of these things. But if your mind is somewhere else and you're not doing that with every cell of your body, it's totally worthless.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got to be able to know when we're in alignment and know when we're congruent. Like we're saying one thing and that is exactly what we mean. So I learned a big, big lesson. I went up and I got on a computer. They hooked up to my ear. And I guess that's a good place anyhow. And it measures your congruency. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I want to go up and do this even though it's in front of like 300 people because if I don't, I won't believe it. Okay? I just have to experience it myself. It's just how I am. If I see 100 people do it, I might start to believe it. If I see one or two or three, I think, well, anybody can set that up, you know. And my cynical mind won't let me take it. But if I do it myself, then I get it. So I said, all right, I went up there, and I'm thinking, well, we've been centering, we've been meditating, I'm feeling pretty good, I'm probably pretty aligned here, I'll just, you know. And then part of me is going, and I'll show off, you know, that how congruent I am, you know. Okay, which is not a congruent thought. Do you understand? So I get up there, and of course the thing goes all over the place. I am so incongruent; it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, and then as soon as I realized I was incongruent, now I was congruent with being incongruent, and measured as I was congruent. Isn't that odd? But it makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It does.
So I remembered it brought me all the way back to the time I was staffing a LifeSpring, you know, self-awareness event. And the trainer, I was having a fight with my girlfriend at the time, and she was just flat cool with where we were, and I wasn't. Okay. And he goes, how you two doing? You know, knowing that we're both going to staff the same program, right? And it's his job to make sure we're clear, right? So she goes, we just had an argument, and I feel like shit, and I'm fine. And he goes, fine, come on in. He took one look at me, and I said, yeah, we just had an argument, and I'm tipped, you know. And he goes, okay, you don't get to staff.
Yeah.
You see, I was like, oh, no, wait, I said it wrong. I was trying to say, I'm just fine, right? But, of course, the way I said it, he knew I wasn't. He said, great, and then you can't staff. But, see, she admitted she wasn't fine, so she's congruent with where she is. She's operating in her truth, and that's what it takes to have other people grow.
Yeah.
That was like a 20-day, you know, message sent to me in a matter of a few seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the things. They're so simple. And I got another one of those. I'll share this. Well, I guess I'm going to share with everybody if it's recorded here, but I guess I'll just do it anyway. But I was trying to sign up for this marketing company a while ago when I was doing it. And it was a 6-month program, and like 5 months and 3 weeks into it, I realized I haven't done anything. So I'm thinking, here we go again. I threw a whole bunch of money at something, and it's not going to do any good, you know, because I'm not going to make it work. And so I called up the marketing people, and they were so brilliant. They said, well, how about you start today? Because they're just good people, okay? They could have said, well, you've got 3 weeks left. You know, let's do what we can. You know, or a week left, actually. Instead, they said, let's go ahead and do this. Now, two things happened in that split second. One is they didn't cooperate with what I was thinking poorly about myself. They didn't cooperate with it. Huh. And that was huge. Like, they didn't say, well, you jerk, you missed it, you know, which was what I was doing, right? And even in all of the training and all of the things I know, I can still hear that going on in my head. Like, wow, you just blew it, you know, and you made yourself, oh, here's what I got busted on. Ready? Staying too busy to be successful. Okay, so what I wanted to accomplish in that moment, I was not accomplishing. And the reason I wasn't accomplishing, I was staying too busy. I couldn't accomplish it. Hmm. Isn't that weird? You know, I mean, it's just, but that's what we do. So even after I spoke with him, I thought, oh, God, I'm still having trouble getting kickstarting this. So I called up one of my friends, a gal that got me into it in the first place. And I said, you know. I cried the blues to her, and she goes, oh, Greg, that's why we love you so much. And once again, another shift.
Yeah.
She loved me anyway, and I'm thinking she's going to think I'm an idiot, and, you know, we're not going to be friends anymore, and, you know, all this macho twit stuff that we're brought up with surfaces in split seconds.
Yeah.
Okay? And then she laughed and hung up. That was the end of it. And boy, I hit that marketing program like 10 Attila the Huns. And it worked. Mm-hmm. But you see, I had to go through that. Hello, somebody just joined us.
Hi, Greg, it's Hillary.
Hi, Hillary, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. And Hillary and Veronica.
So,
brilliant, brilliant.
Hi.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take this interruption. We're going to do a very quick, short centering, okay? And I've been threatening Veronica to do this for the last 10 minutes, but we keep going off on tangents, you know. She has that ability. how about that for a victim story? Okay. It's Veronica's fault.
Yeah, that's right up to it.
I am this powerful woman. I'll just take over here. all right. Well, let's do join forces here, and then we'll see what we can do as a community to help each other. Okay? All right. So, take a nice deep breath in. And know that soon we're going to be more centered than ever before, because each and every time I center myself, I become more centered than ever before. And soon I will be able to simply close my eyes and just be there at the center of my being. And operate from this place. And to do so, I visualize the most brilliant and beautiful red vibration. And red is the color of the outer physical body. I relax my outer physical body from head to toe. I just relax. Let go, relax. I focus my attention and awareness at the top of my head, and I relax the top of my head. My forehead, relax. My eyes, relax. My throat, relax. My chest and torso, relax. My shoulders, I relax my shoulders. My arms, relax. My pelvic area and even my butt, relax. My thighs, relax. My knees, relax. My calves and my ankles and all the way to my toes, relax. With each and every breath, I relax myself more and more. Relax. 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 And next, I visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. I relax and I release and let go all my emotions, all of my emotional attachments to all people, places, and things in my past, for I truly desire to be in this present moment. Going further into the center of my being, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind. I release and let go of my mind. I just let go all thoughts. I just float them away on a cloud or don't pay any attention to them. Most of all, I don't try to fight myself with more thoughts. I just let them pass by. And now, having left my three outer bodies behind, I next visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside me. Peace. Peace, peace. The warmth of peace fills each and every cell of my body as I see myself performing all my tasks in a very peaceful manner. Green is the color of peace. And by entering in this most beautiful, peaceful state, I next open the doors to the higher spiritual realm and visualize the color blue, just like the sky that surrounds us. Blue is the color of love. I let love permeate my very being. Love, the outward centrifugal force, the energy of all that is. Love truly does make the world go round. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I just let go. I simply know. I even know that I know. I know that soon I shall be at the very center of my being, the place where all things are known to me. And this brings me into the color violet. I am now centering myself. I'm at the center of my very being, the holiest of holy places, the divine center. I am truly presencing myself in the now. I take these next few moments in silence and go wherever it is that Spirit leads me to go. Peace. 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 Peace, 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 peace. 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 And soon I must know that I must totally return to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments in silence to go complete my journey, as this is all the time that I will need. And to begin my journey back now, I visualize the color of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with the color violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to blue, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I am enthused. I am enlightened. I am enriched with the knowledge within. I just am. So just notice your state. Often, when we do things like this together, it creates a bit of a more of an energy. Do you want to share a little bit about what happened there, Hillary?
Oh, I just feel like I could go and sleep now. Just tired.
So you notice that you're tired?
Yeah. Yeah. Just want to go and sleep.
Okay, all right. And Veronica?
I just felt peace and calm.
Brilliant.
And I love the opportunity to stop. And I always love that. I love having out of my life. Stop. And I don't always, in fact, I don't think I've really mastered the art of feeling the whole process with every cell of my body. I do still battle with my mind to keep it still. But I know that's work in progress.
Well, here's what.
The more I do it, the more, the more that will come. But that doesn't bother me because I actually just love the exercise. I just love stopping and having something to listen to that takes me out of the busyness of my life.
Yeah, it's the busyness that's kind of the random thoughts, okay? Because when we take charge of things, we can do everything and anything we want in a very peaceful and calm way. It's amazing how these things start to come together. I want to address something that you said that's very important. And two things. One, sometimes when a lot of people will meditate, they'll fall dead asleep. And this is quite normal. Especially for people who are running on adrenaline, okay? And it's also quite good because it also happens to people that are very, very strong-minded. And so your higher self, your I Am presence, takes you right out of the picture so you can listen at a higher alpha level, which means you're actually getting every word at face value and every meaning and every intricacy at face value rather than your brain processing it into something else and trying to logically work through it. Okay? So that's one thing.
Yeah.
And this allows you to completely relax at levels you haven't been relaxed at before. And after a while, I mean, I know people that come home from work. They sit down to talk to you. You know, I visit a lot of people in their homes, and they come home from work, and they sit down, we start to talk, and they fall dead asleep. Right in the conversation. And I asked them about that, and they said, oh, yeah, that's pretty normal. You know, their wife or husband would say, you know, that's what they do. And, you know, my father was one of those people. He worked himself to exhaustion. As soon as he sat down, you can't have a conversation with him because he's sound asleep within minutes. Now, bad or good, right or wrong, you know, it just depends on the person. And it's not bad or good or right or wrong, but it's what does it work for you or not. I know it doesn't work for me. I notice after a while I'm just completely exhausted, and that's different than tired. Okay, so be distinct. You know, have a really good distinction in your mind about, you know, what you're really calling things. Because the very first time that I meditated, I went right into an absolutely deep place. I heard nothing. I felt like I was in a huge warehouse and there wasn't a sound in there, and I was the only person there. And so all these people said, oh, I felt warm and fuzzy. I felt wonderful. This is really neat thing, you know, and everybody was talking about how, what a great experience. And it comes to me and I go, oh, I just felt empty. I thought, wow. And then the teacher says, wow, you know how many people meditate to try to reach empty? And I'm calling it a bad thing. You see, so our brain is kind of very tricky with us about these things. So just pay attention. Like what I do is say, you know, often you hear me say, check into your body. Don't just listen to your brain, because so far our brains have been trained to see, feel, and know something different than what is true. So when I say see, feel, know, it's like I want you to see, feel, and know with what now Veronica was talking about, every cell of your body. And this is something that takes some practice. And having said that, I would wager that you're both doing it all the time. Especially as women, you have a keener intuition than most men. Okay? And you know when you feel something. Like you take a relationship. When women get into relationship, the men are, oh yeah, well, you know, I had sex with her. I decided, you know, that's rubbish. You both know that you women are the ones that decide. And you also decide when that part of your relationship is done and over. there's no second thoughts about it, right? Mm. That's something that you saw, felt, and knew all together at once. So, yes, I'm going to allow this person into my body, you see, and that's a huge undertaking, so you know it, not something you think. Now, this is, of course, maybe after the experimentation stage, okay? But do you understand, though? I mean, the point of it is, this is something that we do quite naturally, but because of the busyness that you mentioned earlier and the things that we're distracted by 24/7, okay? Mm-hmm. At Madison Avenue, billboards, signs, your friends, you know, I mean, would love to sit together and play Ain't It Awful? Or play gossip, you know, the gossip game, which is, incidentally, it's been measured in terms of frequency. When people are gossiping, their energies just go away. Mm. So be very, very cautious about that. Because, in fact, what's actually happening, and this is what I really want to get to, it's called expectation and demand. And it's like when you're talking about someone else, here's the rule. You cannot see in someone else what is not in yourself. So who are you really talking about? And if you're not being impeccable with your word, you're self-flagellating yourself so miserably, okay? Hillary, I was telling Veronica a little earlier, I've spent the last 13 days in meditation. Mm-hmm. And the first 8 of those were at a Buddhist temple. And one of the things that they, and I didn't mention this to you yet, Veronica, but one of the things that they talked about was, in order to be healthy, your energy has to be high.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Your energy has to be high. So if you're entertained, yes, so here's, it was really funny. This one young girl got up and she was emceeing the whole show, and she was one of the top teachers, and she was the youngest teacher there. And I think she was, I don't think she's out of her 20s yet, you know, she's a very young woman. The whole thing was in Chinese, so they're using translators. And so she says, she's standing up there and she says, oh, and she's got like double E's, you know, she's got degrees in 15 different things. She's brilliant. She was the head CEO of a biochemistry laboratory or something, you know, the girl was just brilliant. And she said, she just asked everybody, she said, do you know why I'm so smart? Do you want to know why? She said, because I have a lot of light and energy in my head. And she said it so matter-of-factly, like she's not bragging. She wants us to know, keep the energy high, especially in your brain. And you don't want your brain to go running off and telling your mouth to say things that just simply aren't true or lower your energy. So very, 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 so be very, very cautious of how you're saying and how you're doing things. So say, oh, yes, I'm exhausted. You could say, well, I was noticing that I felt exhausted, but I am not exhausted. You hear the difference? It's like exhaustion, a better way to say it, is passing through me right now. Even a better way to say it is, I've allowed my energy to drop. Even a better way to say it is, I created an energy drop by gossiping, and so now I'm feeling the effects of that. So I lowered my energy frequency by eating, you know, processed food. And I'm feeling the effects of that. I created a low energy field by believing something derogatory that somebody said about me. Always to lower your energy. So we did some experiments with this. And expectation, we'd put some people out of the room. Two people, and we each gave them each a dime and a nickel, and we expected them to bring back the nickel. And like 85 to 90% of the time, they brought back the nickel. We expected them to bring back the dime. That's what they brought back. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. So if you expect to be tired, if you say you place an expectancy of yourself, it's really happening. If you expect to center yourself clearly, you will center yourself clearly. And here's the other part that I really wanted to get to. It's like you have demanded something of yourself. You've commanded yourself. You say, I am going to center myself. And whether your brain likes to believe you are centered or not, because you commanded it so, it did happen. Now, here's the thing. It's relativity. It's like you say, oh, you're running 10 million miles an hour, and you get that down to 10,000 miles an hour. You say, oh, well, I'm not centered yet. But boy, you've made a huge dent from 10 million to 10,000. And then you practice. And so you might go up to 8 million, then come back to 9,000, to 8,000, you see. And you might go up to 5 million, and you might go down to 5,000, you see. It's like, and then pretty soon, you're down to zero. And when you're out, you're only at a couple of 100. You know, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all relative. Now, here's the thing, both of you, I really want you to hear, is that when you become more aware, it seems like you're going 100 miles an hour backwards. Because the more aware you are, the more that you see you've missed the mark. But you don't even see those while you're unaware. Just you follow what I'm saying?
That's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you know, it's funny listening to what you're saying, because this is something that I constantly talk about myself, because you know it's like it's like hearing things like the law of attraction. Once you understand how it works, and when you feel yourself going into that lower vibration, it's the thing that I have to work on for myself is not beating myself up for knowing, because of what I know, I think, wow, I know the effect this is having on me, but I've still spiraled into that negative vibration. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's almost like, is ignorance really bliss? Sometimes it almost feels like it is.
You got cooperation.
Because obviously
there.
I have, you know, with the knowledge that I've learned over the last God knows how many years, you know, as you said, there's a big difference between knowing and doing. And when you know that what you're doing is having this negative effect on you, it almost feels like it's easier to beat yourself up far more than when you haven't got a clue.
Yeah. Yes. I watched somebody say, I'd rather be blissfully ignorant, but if you really watch their facial expressions and their body language, it's pure pain. Blissfully ignorant does not help at all. And if you add alcohol or drugs to that, blissfully ignorant becomes even dangerous. Because then the road back is much more difficult. But this is, so, and I know both of you quite well. You're both incredibly powerful. And you missed the part in the beginning, Hillary, I was talking about. You take a locomotive and you put it on a track and head it into a river. It goes there with the same exact powers as if you turn it around and point it up the mountain. It's the same power. Okay, so when you discover more, this is the time to go, yes, let me write that down. I can work on this one now. I can get rid of this one. It's like, look at it as a brilliant and lovely thing that you just saw something else that you now work on. Rather than say, oh my God. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, oh, absolutely. I know that's true. And I know that you know, this knowledge is just something I don't want to be ignorant. I want to keep learning this stuff. And that's what I've been searching for the last 30 years. And I just, you know, I will keep sucking up this knowledge. But what's still just kind of, well, not eluding me, is that still ability to self-sabotage, to know that you've spiraled into that space. You know, for me, for the last week or so, I know that I've been spiraling into that space and I can see myself doing it. But to step out of it, I just keep pounding myself with positive affirmations, with surrounding myself with people who are positive. But I feel like I feel like I'm pretending.
Very good. I'm really glad you brought that up. That's excellent. I remember my first attempt at taking a LifeSpring class. And I watched all these people get up there and say all these incredibly poignant things, and they'd break through and everybody'd laugh and cheer, you know. And I thought, well, you know, I can say the same thing and get by here. You see, and yes, pretending. While I really wanted to do it, I also really wanted to succeed. And I really wanted other people to know I was succeeding. And in fact, I was pretending. And of course, they busted me about 2 seconds into my talk, you know. But that's what we're doing for each other now. We're here. Let's bust each other. Bust each other hard. Bust each other brilliantly. Bust each other gently. Whatever it takes. You know, but bust out of that so that you're having this real thought. I was mentioning earlier that I went on this machine, you know, that tell if I was in alignment with what I was saying and what I was feeling and knowing. And so I'm wanting to show everybody I'm this great teacher, healer kind of person. So I have that operating inside me at the same time, which is an incongruent thought. It has nothing to do with whether I'm congruent or not, you see, other than it threw me out of congruency. And so when I got up there, the chart, you know, the thing went all over the place. I was incongruent. I thought, oh, wow, you know, here I am. We've been meditating. I've centered. I'm, you know, feeling really good. And on the way up there, I'm thinking, but I have to show everybody that I'm congruent. That's an incongruent thought. I don't have to show anybody anything. I just have to be me. Then when I realized I was incongruent, the thing registered congruent because I'm incongruent and I know it. Now I'm aligned. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
what that is,
sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Now, what's really brilliant about that then is, I say, now I can work with it. Or before I didn't know.
Hmm.
See, that's the difference. If you don't know, then there's nothing to do, right? It's just like AA won't take an alcoholic if they don't admit they're an alcoholic because they're saying, I don't know, I'm an alcoholic. And so if you don't know, then there's nothing to fix. Okay? If you both don't mind, we can go over a little bit today. I've got some time. I know, Hillary, bless your heart, it's pretty late there, yeah?
My apologies. I drop the children off at school as quickly as I can get them out the door.
okay. All right. So, that's right. So it's not late. I was thinking it was really late at night there for some reason.
No. It's 5 to 9 in the morning.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Okay. So if you don't mind, we can go a little longer then, if you both like to do that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. That'd be lovely.
Sure. Good. So expectation and demand. So here's what else we did. Now, we put somebody else up on top of the, at the front of the class, and we all did educational kinesiology, like muscle testing. Some people did it with a pendulum. Some we just did it with arms or legs or whatever we did it with. And so we all tested ourselves. We said, okay, we're all in this place of power. And we all, agreed that we're all going to get into this place, and we all thought well of each other. Then we put somebody at the head of the class, and we said, okay, when the teacher stands behind them and says, put your thumb down, we think poorly of that person, okay? And then they muscle tested that person, and the person's energy was gone. And then that we would think well of that person, their energy came back. Now, we also discovered that person could pick up facial features, people thinking poorly of them, right? They're thinking angry or other thoughts about them, and the people kind of pick that up. And then, here's the caveat. When we thought poorly of them, then we tested our energy, and our energy was low. So it wasn't just the person who we were directing it at,
yeah.
It was ourselves as well.
Yeah, totally. Believe that 100%.
Yeah.
Know that. Yeah.
Even to the point we closed our eyes and we moved a picture and made it crooked in the room and everybody's energy dropped.
Yeah.
That to me was a mind boggler, that one with the picture. Because people couldn't even see, a lot of people couldn't even see the pictures behind them.
Yeah.
Now, so the idea behind what we're doing here is to be so strong that these things don't affect you. And here's how that works. I was doing an experiment with, I picked the tiniest little girl. She was this little Japanese girl. She couldn't have weighed 70 pounds if she weighed an ounce. And I happened to have 3 football players from the Denver Broncos in my class. So I asked her to come up, and sit on the floor with her hands behind her so she could pop herself up. Her knees were up and her hands were behind her. And I had the center for the Denver Broncos there. This guy's 300 and some odd pounds, right? And I said, well, push her backwards. See if you can do it. Of course, without, his little finger, he could push her backwards and throw her, right back onto her back. And so then I whispered something into her ear, and I said, okay, now you do this, and I'll tell you what I told her. I said, I want you to imagine that you're right at the center of your solar plexus. And from the center of your solar plexus, I want you to envision a steel beam going all the way across the room and anchoring itself in the wall. And she told me when she got that. And I said, now put your elbows on top of your knees and put your chin on top of your hands. So now she's not braced at all, right? And that guy couldn't push her over.
Wow.
You should have seen, he was almost level with the floor and he couldn't push her over. And I had two more of the Broncos get behind him and push him, and they couldn't do it. Now, when you say to yourself, the power of your mind, and you're thinking of yourself poorly, what are you doing? I want you to realize.
Vibration.
Absolutely. So even when you say, oh, I do this and I'm doing really well, and then I go off on this tangent, or then my mind takes over, or then I have all this chatter. You see, you're actually reinforcing it.
Yeah,
when you could say, well, I was centering deeply and I noticed that I had some chatter passing through. And I brought myself back to center. See, most people don't finish the sentence. That's why I had all this chatter. Because what I know to be true, whether there's chatter or not, whether it's happening or not, when your intention is set, I am now centering myself. Each and every time I center myself, I am more centered than ever before, is a declaration. And it works. You actually are, each and every time you center yourself, more centered than ever before. Think of it in the opposite. When you didn't do any kind of meditation, or you didn't do any of these things, that you both are very, very powerful. You're both very, very powerful. You have skills beyond, way beyond the ordinary. And when you use those skills to your own advantage and say, your brain all the time is going, oh, this will never work, this will never work. You say, just be quiet. I'm willing this to work right now. So I could say, when I go to sleep, brain, your job is to make me completely healthy tonight, and continue doing that till I tell you to stop. Brain, your job is to make me wealthy tonight, and to continue making me wealthy till I tell you to stop. Brain, your job is to help me to lose weight. And now you set your brain in motion. It's going to never stop working anyway, so you might as well put it in there what you want. The way that you put things in there that you don't want is to not be impeccable with your word about yourself. I am not exhausted. Exhaustion is a state of being in the moment. But I am is a very powerful statement. You want to be really careful how you use it. I am a powerful, centered, healthy man. That's what I am. I am not sick. I can't say I am a sick, helpless, chattering, lost man. Because if I put I am in front of that, I am declaring that. If I own it, people say, oh, my arthritis, my cancer. You're declaring that it's yours. My inability to handle money, my lack of relationship skills, my. We want to be very, very careful about, because with our mind, this is what we create with. And it is not our brain. We're creating with our entire mind. Now, I want you to really notice something, perhaps. When you hear people, they say, how are you? Oh, I'm really sick. Well, maybe they have some congestion in their lungs, but the rest of their body is quite healthy. And then a week later, you say, how are you doing? You say, well, and their congestion's gone, and oh, a little better. Instead of, I'm on my way to being well, I'm almost there, or I am well. So we use an absolute on the negative side, and we use adjectives and restrictive type phrases on the positive side. Isn't that interesting? Now, here's the psychology behind it. is that you don't want to lie. So you want to be loyal to your sickness. Isn't that weird? So I could say, I made this mistake a while ago. I could say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healthy, when I'm sick, right? But then my brain goes, hey, you nutball, you are sick, you know that. So you're lying, and we're going to make you sicker because you start telling the truth. Okay, so I got that. I said, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that again. I'm punishing myself. We've been trained to punish ourselves. Remember, I talked about that. And you're the only one who knows how to punish you the worst. Okay, so, but you can say, I am healing myself. How are you doing? I'm healing myself right now. Isn't that a lot nicer than saying I'm sick? I am, and something behind that, you are going to create it. How are you doing today, Veronica? I am healing myself today, Greg. The brain does not understand a negative.
I've tried doing
that. That's how it is.
Yeah. I've started to say to people when they ask me how I'm going, I say, well, I'm on my healing journey. Each day is better than the last.
Yeah.
That saves me having to explain a lot. And then I just sort of try and leave it at that. I don't always succeed, but that's what I do now.
Excellent. Okay. And so, and say, in the past, I haven't succeeded, and I'll do better. Do you hear? We've got to catch every little thing, you see, because it's every little thing that adds up, right? And we do it without even a second thought. We just... we're just so unimpeccable with our words, you know. And so it's very, very critical that you pay attention to everything. And when you do catch it, don't go looking for it. Just say, oh, when you catch it, okay, say, oh, I forgive myself. Let me reframe that and reframe it right then. Don't just say, oh, you jerk, you did it again. That's just compounding the issue, okay? You say, I see where I'm creating this with my words. Let me change that now. Let me reframe what I'm saying. Let me say it in a way that creates the result that I desire. Mm. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. Now this is very, very important in creativity. And so why I'm saying and why I decided to say continue to do come on to these calls, even after the program officially was over, is to say, this is an ongoing thing. This needs help and support from other people. Just like, Veronica, you shared something, and Hillary shared something. I get that. I see what's going on. And then that helps, too, because then you know you're not alone. And when you know you're not alone, then you know you can reach out. And when you know you can reach out, there's strength in that. There's continuity in it. There's something that inside you says, you know what, Veronica's over there, and if you do like, you can share each other's information. If you tell me to, I'll send you each other's emails. I'm kind of careful not to do that unless you say so, okay? But I'm even thinking in the next program, it's going to be one of the prerequisites that I'm going to do that. Hmm. And that way you have each other's information and say, oh, gee, you know, who's talking about that? Oh, yeah, Hillary was saying something about this, and, you know, I'm really powerful with that. Let me call her up and help her. Or, God, Hillary was very powerful in this particular thing, and I know that she has these particular skills because we've shared them with each other, you see, and I could call her and maybe she could help me with that. Mm-hmm. And then we start to develop a community. I just think that this is what the world needs right now. I saw a cartoon. It's really funny. I'll send it to you guys if I can figure out how to do it. But it's like there's these kids and they've all got their, you know, they're all holding their iPads and their iPhones and they got antennas coming out of their ears and everywhere, you know, and they're poking. There's a book that somebody dropped on the sidewalk and the caption is, I don't know what it is. What the hell do you think it is? And they're kicking it and turning it over, you know.
Yeah.
and remember, this is where things are coming to. And so kids can have complete relationships with their computers and never have to step outside. Okay? So we've got to be really diligent about these things. We've got to be in our heart. We've got to communicate that to our children so that they can have and enjoy certain values that you know have worked in your life. They won't find them on the computer.
Yeah.
This is power. They operate and learn from your actions, not what you tell them. This is power. When you want somebody to shift, go home and shift in yourself and be the shift that you want them to be.
Absolutely.
And guess what?
Yeah.
You both benefit. Mm. And you don't have to tell them to do anything, which is kind of, you know, kind of like telling, you know, a dog not to poop on the lawn. It's not going to happen, you know. They're going to do what they do. So this is, you know, why do we have to practice? Why? It's one thing I really got clear from the Buddhist, you know, meditation things is why? Why do we do this? Why do we bother to do it? Why is it important to center yourself? Why is it important to know your perfect self and to create that being or allow that being to allow you to know that it created you and that that is your Lord and Master and that is your best friend, and that is where you will get all of the answers that you need for everything and anything. And that when your I am then communicates with my I am, like people say, oh, that's what I needed just to hear the most. You kind of alluded to that at the beginning, Hillary, and it's like, yeah, of course it is, because why? Your I am told my I am, and I let my personality give it to your personality. Mm-hmm. And then there's cooperation. You say, oh, yeah, that resonates. Why do you think things resonate? Because it came from you in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay? So really, really know this is your power. Really revel in that. Thank yourself. Love yourself for that. It's so brilliant to be able to recognize it. And even just to say, yes, absolutely, is brilliant. It would send chills down my arms. I can't tell you how many people argue against that.
No, I know. I know. You see, I get that myself, you know.
True.
And it's so interesting because I, you know, that's the kind of stuff where it's scary when it feels like being a fraud, because I tell my children exactly what you're saying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people ask me about this, but, you know, sometimes I just realize that myself is being challenged with all of this, and I, you know.
Well, here's the good news.
Knowing it in your mind instead and doing it in your heart is a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like when I saw that UFO, and it was very close, and people said, why didn't you go over and see it? I said, why don't you?
That's
the difference between seeing a bear in the woods and one behind the zoo bars.
Yeah.
You know? It's like a whole different feeling, and I've had both of those. I got surrounded by bears in the woods once, and oh, my God. I understood what it was for the very first time in my life to be frozen in fear. I could not move my body.
Hmm.
I had so many conflicting directives that I just locked up. I'll tell you guys the story one day, but I mean, it's quite funny. But I mean, our reasoning for being there and everything was so foolish. I mean, we were just kids, you know, and we're just, you know, think we're going to do something really cool. And boy, we almost became lunch. But, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. Here's the good news, Hillary. You're giving them good information, and children aren't judging you with information like that. They're taking it in. You're not sitting there going, hey, you need to lie about this. If you feel bad, tell people you feel good. So you're not telling them that. And for heaven's sakes, don't do it.
Yeah.
And how smart kids are today? Oh, good grief, you know. I mean, I'll share with you, my daughter's okay. She knows I share some things sometimes about her. So she's really cautious about what she tells me. But she's going through a difficult time right now, and people are polarizing, and her husband has gone off kind of the deep end. And her son, who's 10 years old, comes up, and he's kind of this wizard little kid. In the second grade, he was doing fifth grade work. Now he's in the fourth grade, and he's doing eighth grade work. I mean, he's a very smart little kid. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I'm really upset with you, Mom." He says, "Why?" And she says, "Well, you didn't tell me you and Dad are getting divorced." And she started to say, "Well, we're not doing this and that, and we didn't want to." She goes, "Mom, I went online. I can tell when people lied to me. I looked it up on the computer." She says, "Okay." So she had to cop to the truth, you know, and she told him exactly what she was feeling. And as a result of doing that, the bond between them, it's inseparable. There's nothing like speaking your truth in the moment. And which is my definition of how you made your friends when you were in high school and when you were growing up. So how do you know what person's your friend? Why do you pick one person over another? And you just become friends with them. And it's because you shared some specific truth about yourself. And you endeared them. And they then shared a truth with you. And you have this unwritten thing that you're never going to tell about that truth. And you become really good friends. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's my definition. That's why I think it happens, you know. And then, you know, maybe you tell some other people, you know, the truth. And those other friends, they kind of drift away. And then you're friends with somebody else. And it's okay, right? We don't have to call up those other people and divorce them. But we play that game when we're older, you see, and we think it's a bad thing. We say, "Well, this has changed. Now there's something else going on." And we think it's a bad thing. It's not. Things have just changed. That's all. We did it all the time when we were younger. And so we say, "Oh, I see they've changed," and we could still be lovely, wonderful, supportive friends, but they've changed. That's all. You see, now if we take that attitude upon ourselves and with and for ourselves, we can affect a change. Like somebody wants to be mean and cruel, you say, "I'm not biting. No, I'm not playing that game." It takes two to play that game. I'm gonna have to go in a minute or two here, but I'll end it with this kind of thing that I heard about with Mother Teresa, and then if you have a few questions or two, I'll answer those. But here's the thing. There was two Indian armies that were fighting, and in the middle of the fight was an orphanage, and there were children there. And she said, she went to one of the nations, she said, the country, she said, "I'm going in there, and I'm going to get the children tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. I said, "Well, Mother Teresa, we could say we're going to stop fighting, you know, but we can't stop the other side from fighting. We don't know what's going to happen." She said, "I understand. And at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going in to get the children," because she didn't want the children to get, you know, caught in this crossfire. And they argued with it, She said, "I understand. And at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going in to get the children. So just be advised." At 10 o'clock in the morning, she went in to get the children. There wasn't a shot fired. And that's the kind of resolve you need to have. You see, what she created, she literally stopped a war by simply stating where she stood. She wasn't on anybody's side. She wasn't favoring one over the other. She had one goal in mind: to help those children. And nothing was going to dissuade her from that. So my suggestion to you is to say, "I have one goal in mind. I'm going to be at peace," or "I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be sustained in all things of my life." One single thought, which for you could be health, wealth, peacefulness, effectiveness, prosperity, it doesn't matter, whatever it means to you. I'm going to be fully protected and whatever those words are for you. This is the kind of power that you have. This is why it's important to practice those things, to stop your mind from working so hard against you, to stop your brain from working. It's not even your brain. To stop the garbage, the dumping grounds of the garbage of other people's thoughts that are flowing through your consciousness. They don't even belong to you. They're not yours. They're not in your brain. They're just passing through. And I actually have evidence of that. I actually had it shown to me by an indigo child how energy and thought forms, they're literally forms. They look like triangles or shapes or clovers or a pencil or a fork. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's a form that we hold in our mind as a thought. And they move in and out of our physical bodies every second of the day, hundreds of thousands of them. And I actually saw it. What's that? She explained it to me. And it was extraordinary how it worked. And I could combine that with dozens of other teachings that I've got. For example, how the whale, as we know it, is one of the beings, and they showed this actually in Star Trek about, you know, one of the early movies, that actually transmits frequencies from other galaxies and dimensions into frequencies that we can understand in such a way that the thought forms are delivered to us on Earth that we can collect them and use them. Mm. That was the function of a whale. Mm. Still is. Except now that... Go ahead.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah. And the government's onto it now, so they have underwater sonar that messes up their receiving systems because they don't want any more knowledge on the Earth now. Mm. They want to keep control. And see, these little bits of information that seemingly are unrelated are completely related. And right now, people that are sensitive, like you, Veronica, and you, Hillary, are picking up things like that, and it causes us to kind of get whacked out a little bit, and myself included, you know. And I was speaking with another very powerful person this morning, and she said, boy, she said, I just feel like I'm going crazy. That's the first sign that you're seeing the truth. And then you add that to the more you see, the worse it looks, and you think, oh, I'm going backwards. But no, that's a very, very good sign that you're on the right track. And trust me, all of a sudden you hit a critical mass, and then it doesn't look like it's lopsided anymore. You're on top of it. Mm. And you both have already been there. We've all been there. When we're children, we're on top of it. Especially when we're young adults, we're on top of it. We're invincible. The world, you know, the sun rises and sets on our heads, and that's the way it is. Mm. We're on top of it. So I would say to you, stay on top of it. Get back up on top. Just see yourself doing that. Visualize it however you have to do that. Let your I Am presence take you there. Demand that it takes you there. Command that it takes you there. All of the cells of your body operating individually to create all that you are. And then they work collectively. And then they even form little cliques like you do in high school, you know, that's your kidneys and your heart and your brains and things like that, you know. And then those cliques form you. And each one of those cells is operating individually, but then it is because you are formed and you are this I Am consciousness that put you together. It's the I Am consciousness directing the cells, and the cells are directing this whole show that puts together you as the I Am consciousness, and around you go. So you may as well speak to yourself. It's very intelligent. You may as well command yourselves. I want you guys to heal yourselves now. I am speaking to you, young body. All right. do take the time to listen to those modules. Do take the time to do the visualizations. Do take the time to speak to yourself impeccably. Do take the time to practice, and with all of your friends and everybody that you know, speaking impeccably about yourself. When somebody gives you a compliment, the words are, "Thank you, I know." And people giggle and laugh about that, and so will you, because it really sounds funny. And when you laugh, you're having joy. And when you're having joy, you're also teaching people, "Yes, thank you, I know. I am a good cook. Thank you, I know. I'm a really smart blonde. Thank you, I know." All right. May the blessings of God be upon you. May God's peace abide deep within your soul. May God's presence truly illuminate your hearts, now and forevermore. Have a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant week.
Thanks for the time, Greg. Thanks for the extra time.
You bet. God bless.
Thank you. Bye. Now. Bye.